Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jesse is trying to set up a mobile podcast studio in Morocco in a hostel. And he's sweating. His face is red.
It's not going well.
The camera's shaking, and all I can hear is him.
This is maddening.
It's going really well.
Fuck it.
He's
fuck,
almost
fuck.
Done.
No.
Wonderful attitude.
What the fuck are we doing today?
We're going to talk about a secret RCMP report that is worried that Canadians are going to revolt in 5 years.
Okay.
you look like you're going to revolt now.
Just quieting down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries! Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous. Disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thought?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Hello, welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Reese Waters, and with me is the international traveler you know as Jesse Harley, who just arrived in Morocco a few days ago.
Yeah. It's been a stint. It's been something, let me tell you.
What's your opinion on Morocco compared to Spain and Italy?
It's culture shock in two words. Culture shock.
I did try and prepare you.
You did. It's still a culture shock. Everyone, every single person is not just religious. They are really religious. And it's very difficult to adjust to. It's very difficult to adjust to. You know, so they pray 5 times a day, which I learned is a very normal thing you grow up with.
Yeah.
Your day is broken up into like segmented chunks, and then you stop and you pray for 2 minutes on a mat while reading from the Quran. And it's so normalized that it's just like, you know, anything can become normalized. And then I'm here during Ramadan, and I'm joining them with Ramadan, which is basically you're fasting. You can't eat anything after sunset until after sunrise until sunset.
Your videos on your social media look amazing.
Thank you. They are pretty cool, I think. You also can't drink water, which has been the challenging part.
Jesse, you're not Muslim. You can drink water.
No, I know. I'm joining them. I've decided to join them. I've met some people here, and they're very nice, and they've bought me dinner, and they've been very, very kind to me, and they wanted me to join them, so I did.
Cool.
So I'm just joining in Ramadan. But yeah, not drinking all day, not drinking water all day is difficult, but it's not that hard. It's not as hard as I thought it would be. But it's such a culture shock.
Jesse, think about your skin.
Anyway, I'm here in Morocco. I'm going to be leaving. I'm in Tetouan, which is noisy, busy, dirty. And I'm going to be leaving for a coastal city, which goes by the name of Taghazout, I believe. And learning Arabic has been incredibly difficult. It took me 3 days to barely remember how to say hello, thank you, and goodbye. Like, assalamu alaikum is hello. Sokran is thank you. And then bislama is goodbye. That took me days. And I'm not very good at it.
I guess it's just so fundamentally different from English that it's been built in a whole new way. Or a different way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Makes total sense. That's cool. So, it looks like you've met lots of friendly people and you're going to lots of cool nighttime events and parties and.
Only one. There's a cafe that it was closed, and someone was like, "Hey, we should open it up just for Ramadan," in that they open in the evening, throngs of people come in. They eat one big meal while listening to music. There's poetry read in Arabic beforehand, and then after the meal, everybody leaves and the cafe shuts down. This happens every night, just for when people break their fast during Ramadan.
That's pretty cool.
They're making a killing. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so I was thinking about, you said they pray five times a day and that's structured into life. Canadians get some kind of drive-through coffee five times a day. So it's very similar.
That's true. Yeah, it is. And when we go through, we thank our Lord and Savior, Tim Horton.
And Justin.
And
praise be Justin.
Praise be Justin.
Praise be.
The baby eater.
I wanted to talk to you something really funny. I'm going to skip to sharing any personal stories to tell you about this. It was so Pierre Trudeau.
It just means you don't have anything fun going on.
No, I do, but I wanted to use the space to talk about this. So remember we did the story with JJ Whitehead about the litter trays in schools and the bullshit story.
Yes.
So CBC did Pierre Poilievre was in Halifax talking about
Was he doing a lunch, a breakfast?
You should have. But anyway, so what happened was they interviewed a bunch of Pierre Poilievre supporters, and there were people saying for me, it's everyday expenses, heat in my home, the groceries that I buy, I drive a car to work every day, it all adds up. But this one woman called Janice, now just so you know, I read this newspaper article closer to when it came out, and they've since amended it, so it doesn't say what it used to, but I pretty much copy and pasted the text when I saw it, because it was just too good. So this woman, Janice, basically said she supports Pierre Poilievre because around gender discussions in schools and the cost of housing. But she says, the poor young people, they haven't got any hope. And basically then goes on to explain that her daughter's art teacher identifies as a bumblebee. And that's why she's supporting Pierre Poilievre.
She's supporting Pierre Poilievre because her daughter's teacher identifies as a bumblebee.
Art teacher identifies as a bumblebee. It's madness, it tells you. Madness. But I went back to the original article.
I heard someone once say that they identify as being correct in this argument. And whatever their argument was, I was like,
unwilling to listen to what you have to say.
Yeah, exactly.
On March the 17th at 9:50 p.m. Atlantic time, the CBC updated the article because they have to put an amendment on the bottom. And it says a previous version of the story also included part of a quote CBC could not corroborate. So they obviously tried to do the due diligence and find the art teacher.
They're trying to find art teachers and ask them if
she said art teachers identify as a bumblebee. Let's see if we can find an art teacher that identifies.
Like, come on, because that would be a second story right there.
That would be art teacher identifies as bumblebee.
Anybody here knows that art teacher, and can get in touch with us. Please do so. We'd love to have them on the show.
I've never
interviewed a bumblebee before.
Oh, but that was so good. That made me so happy when I read that. Every time I see it's amazing how often it still pops up where people say, so-and-so's told me that somebody identifies as a something. It just entertains me so much.
And that's why I'm voting for Pierre Polyev. Right.
That's why the future leader of this country, Pierre Polyev, is going to get my vote. Probable leader.
I assume he's going to win too. He's not getting my vote. Fuck that. He's insane. He's out of his fucking gourd. You're joking when you say he's getting your vote, right? Like, you're not.
I didn't say I was going to vote for him. I can't vote.
Oh, that's right. You can't vote. No. Well, that's our show. That's our time. Thanks for listening, Jay.
God, no. I think it'd be physically impossible for me to vote. I think my subconscious would just make my body freeze with a pencil in my hand. Even if someone like paid me to do it, I just don't think I could. Anyway.
He's going to be prime minister anyway. It doesn't matter. It's the way it goes. We can see it coming a mile away.
We can call him names. We can say horrible things. We can make
has there ever been
we can make things up about him. People still vote for him.
I don't know the answer to this. Has there ever been like? Let me think. No, never mind. I just realized how my question doesn't apply. So let's continue. It was
a political question.
I answered my own question in my head before I asked it.
Yeah. So just for the record, though, as well, I probably wouldn't vote for Justin Trudeau either. I couldn't vote for. I don't like either of them, really.
Yeah, I get you. I don't know much about what Justin's been doing, but I don't know.
Not enough. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Not enough. to be honest, though, actually, I'm not going to talk about that now. We'll do that another day.
Okay.
All right. I was going to talk to you. Fuck it. Let's do it. So Justin Trudeau, apparently there's rumors they're going to finally do the voter reform that he promised to do in 2015.
That's funny.
Because if he did, it'd be impossible for Pierre to get a majority. So now that he knows he's definitely going to lose...
He might as well go out with a bang.
Yeah, it's like you know in action movies when they're like the hero can't beat up the villain at the end, and he's like, you can't win, hero, and the villain, and he goes to the villain, I don't have to win, but we can both lose. That's what he's doing essentially, and then he just
I love it though.
And then he just pulls a grenade and shoves it in his mouth and kisses him, and they blow up. If Justin does do that, it'd be great. I'd love it.
I hope he does. Because we've needed
the grenade
that.
French kiss with Pierre Polyev. Yeah.
We've needed the partisan pass the poll whatever for like a long time now.
But if he finally does it because he knows he's got no chance of winning, at least that's like a parting shot. I think he'll go down as a hero then.
Right. Yeah.
The final redemptive act of Justin Trudeau. Yeah. Anyway, so
I hope so.
Anyway, the brighter subject, let's talk about the secret report from the RCMP that Canadians are going to turn on their government and each other.
All right, I'm excited. Oh, look at that. That's why I sent... Okay, I'd have to point it towards me. There we go.
You did something to your microphone that made it sound better.
I pointed it the way it was supposed to be pointed at my face. Because I'm holding it. Normally it's being held, and I can point it, and it just doesn't move. But I'm holding it like a fucking ice cream cone. So...
So this report, there's a secret RCMP report, is warning the federal government that Canada may descend into civil unrest once citizens realize the hopelessness of their economic situation. The report is called Whole of Government 5-Year Trends for Canada, which doesn't sound like a nest. It sounds like a pretty boring document. The coming period of recession will accelerate the decline in living standards that the younger generations have already witnessed compared to earlier generations. For example, many Canadians under 35 are unlikely to ever be able to buy a place to live. The report was labeled secret and is intended as a piece of special operational information to be distributed within the RCMP and among decision makers in the federal government.
Sounds so boring, man. I'm like falling asleep. Spice it up here. Come on, let's go.
I love that all it takes is for the National Canadian Police Force to warn the government that everyone is so pissed off and things are about to get so shit that they need to get ready for people smashing windows and trying to burn the buildings down.
Do you think this is going to happen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, why wouldn't it happen? Why it might happen just as
Canada,
much as...
man. Canada doesn't do this.
I mean, you say
Canadians
that.
Do.
You say that. But it's possible anyway.
Has it happened before?
Yes, so many times.
In Canada?
Yes. It happens when like they lose the Stanley Cup. People destroyed like downtown areas because they lose the Stanley Cup. You don't think it can happen because people feel desperate in the living situation?
No, specifically because of economic situations. The Stanley Cup is different, man. Canadians have, you know, we have
limits. That's different. That's okay.
We lose our Stanley Cup, we lose our fucking minds.
Okay. It was like downtown Toronto, downtown Montreal and downtown Vancouver have been destroyed thanks to Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that's totally different than an economic crisis. Come on now.
No, this that's way worse.
Way worse,
than a desperate financial situation of being unable to live or afford housing. It's terrible.
I was talking with a Moroccan friend here, Yassir, and about the cost of living in Morocco versus Canada and like groceries. And another Moroccan friend who is actually living in Holland, Noorden, and he was saying he's having just as difficult time in Holland with groceries and cost of living as we are in Canada. And we were both kind of explaining to Yassir about like how crazy prices are for buying groceries. Like a small bag of groceries will run us like $130 Canadian easily, right? And that'll last us maybe a week, maybe two, if we like are really careful with it.
Yeah.
He's just mind blown. Like he can, for like 100 euros every 2 weeks, he can feed easily like healthily and happily feed a family of five, right? Every 2 weeks. So it's like, yeah. Anyway.
Well, but I think that's the thing, though, is that housing, people can't afford. It's harder for people to afford high-quality housing. It's more expensive.
Did you see this guy? Did you see this guy on Instagram in Halifax? He's a real estate influencer, I guess.
Influencer.
Well, I guess he's like, I don't know if you call him an influencer. He's on Instagram and TikTok, and he'll go and he'll give tours in Halifax of like $2 million condos, right? And like, and how amazing they are. And the comments are just filled with people like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like,
this is it though. Like, honestly, I think the fact that like life is hard, like, I think unless you're like very comfortable, everyone is changing their habits to adapt to the high cost of everything. If that continues to get worse over the next 5 years in terms of like,
fuel, are they saying it is?
Well, yeah, that's what the report is saying, is that living standards are going to continue to plummet.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
So this report was heavily redacted. So they'd actually, like, someone had gone through with a big pen and got rid of loads of stuff. It was filed by Matt Malone, an assistant professor of law at British Columbia's Thompson Rivers University. I was an expert in government secrecy. And it's kind of considered a scanning exercise just to look for threats. Like, what are the threats that Canada's going to face? And they assume that Canada's current situation is going to deteriorate in the next 5 years. So it's living standards, increasingly unpredictable weather, seasonal catastrophes such as wildfires and flooding, and also increased
wildfires and flooding. Where does that come from?
Well, wildfires and flooding happen way more often than they used to.
Sorry, I thought there was a direct correlation between wildfires and flooding and the economic crisis. Like the economic, like, I thought what you were saying. I'm like, what?
That would be amazing. That's so funny. That's, you know, no, it, like, well, like, the idea is that you've got a climate crisis, an economic crisis, an information crisis, and misinformation crisis, a disinformation crisis, all these things, and a standard of living crisis. All these things are coming together in a way that is hard to comprehend or prepare for.
So what are we going
to
do?
My plan is, I'm going to buy a Harley Davidson for me, my wife, and my kids. But I'm going to make it like look rusty and put spikes on it. Maybe a few skulls or severed heads on a spike on the back of my seat.
Smart.
I'm going to get some football like armor and like, you know, kind of scribble like bad words and pictures of skulls on it. Shave a mohawk.
Get some white spray paint and spray your face and your teeth.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Chrome
spray paint for my teeth. And then just like a machete, but I'm gonna make it very pointy and rusty just to be mean. Several guns and maybe a bow and arrow in case I run out of bullets.
And if you come across any hitchhikers, you have to chain them up to the front of your motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's my plan. I'm just going to put this stuff away in the shed for now. And then when it does happen, we'll just ride through the neighborhood and be kings.
If I can afford it, with enough saving in 10 to 15 years, maybe I'll buy a van and live in it.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny that like
I look forward to circling you in your van as you cry and then setting fire to you.
It's a funny joke somebody else made. It was on and setting fire to me. Yeah, thanks. I'd put out the fire, but we're gonna have a drought. So someone made a joke about how like, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, living in a van was like the pinnacle of being poor, and now
it's like a dream.
It's a dream to live in a van. My God, you mean I don't have to pay rent? What?
When I moved to Canada, we sold so much furniture and everything. And what we had left was in a shipping container. And we'd sold the house. We had no bills. We had no mortgage. We had nothing. We were in an Airbnb for 6 weeks. And I was like, me and my wife were both the same. We was like, imagine if instead of buying a house, we bought an RV and we just traveled across Canada. Until we run out of things to do, or we run out of money, or whatever.
You guys would have killed each other.
It would have been amazing, but at the same time. And then now, like, you know, 6 years into a mortgage, I'm like, you still kind of get nostalgic for living in a van. We could have been road family. Imagine being a road family.
Does she? Does she still want to?
Oh, God, I think we both do it in a heartbeat.
You should do it.
I know, but kids need to go to school, don't they?
I mean, you could homeschool them. Home RV school them.
Could I, my children were RV schooled. I did it myself.
Teach them how to be road warriors.
I know, but they got their own lives now. They're like little people with their own little lives. I can't.
That's the trouble with little kids.
Well, they have their own lives.
Yeah,
it is. I know. You don't own them. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing the report says is they're worried about people being increasingly disillusioned with their government and talking about misinformation, conspiracy theories, and paranoia. Law enforcement should expect continuing social and political polarization fueled by misinformation campaigns and an increased mistrust for all democratic institutions.
Of course. As one comedian said, and I love this, I think it's so funny when people are saying like that the government doesn't lie to you. He's like, are you kidding me? I've got three kids. I lie to them all the time, constantly. You don't think your government of several dozen, like million people, doesn't lie to you? Like, really? To keep you under control and keep you calm and safe and just have everything? You really believe that? Okay.
Well, I genuinely, there's the whole idea that the CIA encouraged conspiracy theories about UFOs and everything because if everybody thinks that you've got top secret UFO technology, then you're clearly like a superpower with an edge on every other country in the world. If they think that you're flying around in E.T.'s Corvette, like, then like it helps. But also the idea that the government, these conspiracies that the government is all powerful and watching you, it's not true. Most governments are just like, you know, the amount of control.
Unless you're China.
Well, yeah, they've taken.
That's it. So there's just a good example of saying, like, it's not like it couldn't happen,
but
you know.
But at the same time, is really helpful to a government for people to actually think that they have so much control and influence over your life to the minute detail, because the truth is that everyone is winging it and no one knows what the fuck they're doing. Even in China,
your slogan.
Yeah. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. But somehow we've been alive for a few hundred thousand years as humans. So.
Right.
But amazingly. Anyway.
So is that is there a conclusion? Is there an ending to this sad story?
Well, no. It's interesting. I think that what it's saying is that things in terms of productivity is on the way down. Everything's more expensive. Economic forecasts for the next 5 years are bleak. And saying the rest of the decade could be what is being described as by the French president Emmanuel Macron as the end of abundance, which is kind of a correction in our standard of living, where wastefulness and abundance is no longer. It's kind of almost like what happened 100 years ago with the Great Depression, I guess. It's kind of similar time zone, similar period.
Interesting.
Maybe lead to another world war. Who knows?
We can hope. Yay, fingers crossed. Fuck no.
I don't know, Jesse. But anyway, I thought that report was interesting because it just shows how cynical and afraid the people in charge are. But that makes you go, well, if they've written this report, what are they going to now do to prepare for it? And I think build more bunkers, tanks and water cannons. Better armor, better weapon, bigger sticks for hitting people with, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, bats with nails in them.
Because if they're saying this is what's going to happen, then they've got to prepare for it. So they go, okay, well, we just need to be able to smash people up with signs more often.
I'm racking my brain as to what we could do for an improvised heritage minute for this one. I don't think there is one. Unless we want to do like Pierre Polyev as Mad Max, like after the...
What's the main bad guy called? What's the main dude called?
I forget. What is his name? Mad guy. Mad Max. Immortan Joe.
Immortal right. Joe.
Immortal. Immortan with an N.
Immortan Pierre.
Immortan Pierre. You want to do like a quick 30-second, just a desert wasteland with Pierre Polyev or Immortan Polyev sitting along a throne of skulls, like while tanks full of oil surround him.
I got an idea.
It starts in the Canadian desert wasteland.
Okay, so
the year is 2027.
Tumbleweed blows across the flat landscape of Manitoba. This once beautiful paradise has resorted to like a giant dust bowl, much like the 1920s, except this one's in Manitoba. They might have already had one anyway. Justin Trudeau is running. He's got some kind of steel contraption on his face and is dragging a chain. They're after him. The people on bikes with spears that have grenades on the end are after him. He's managed to escape the Immortan Pierre. He falls to the ground, trips over, and they throw a net over him and drag him back to the lair, also known as Parliament Hill.
That's a hell of a trek.
it's flat. tying him to the front of a 2010 Dodge Charger that is rusty. Instead of headlights, there's the heads of the screaming dead people with light bulbs in their mouths for dramatic effect. They drive him back to Parliament Hill. As he arrives to Parliament Hill, Pierre has done a bit of a remodel. He's built a wall of cars, burnt out cars, and everyone is there praying that Pierre will come out and give them some water, some fresh water. Sometimes he lets water out, sometimes he's bubbly, sometimes it's just gallons of double-double. Either way, the desperate Canadians below will take whatever PA gives them these days. I don't know where to go. Hang on a minute, I got an idea. Pierre finishes finishes gulping down a big old pint of breast milk. Wipes his mouth. Says, bring Justin to me. Puts on his transparent armor and his scary face mask just to have a little bit more presence. Waves goodbye to his four wives and then in the concubine chamber. And I don't know how to go with this.
Keep going. This is great. Don't stop now. Jesus, you're on a roll.
bring me Justin, but rip all of his clothes off apart from a small loincloth made from an oily rag.
From the Canadian flag.
From the Canadian flag. Pierre says, Justin, look what you did to this country. All of this is nothing to do with me. I didn't do this. Even though I was in power before you as a housing minister or something. Nothing to do with me. Stephen, this wasn't Harper. This was you. This was all you, Justin. Look at the Manitoba, Ottawa, former paradises. It was like the Jetsons. We were living in the future, and now we're like monsters fighting over scraps in a dusty puddle. What have you got to say about yourself, Justin? He can't talk. He's too dehydrated. He just screams one word. Daddy!
A barren wasteland in the year was 2027. Just yesterday, Canada was a heaven. With fires, floods, housing, and food.
That's it. I'm done now. Although Pierre Polyev chugging down a pint of breast milk is quite a nice image.
Please make some AI art for that. Let's put it on a t-shirt.
That'd be pretty good.
Pierre Polyev pouring breast milk over himself in a wet t-shirt contest test. Well, I'll never break.
It's how he got so strong. It's how he got all those muscles.
Did you see it's how he got all those nipples?
Muscles.
Oh, I heard nipples.
Came from the nipples, but it came...
Muscular nipples.
Nothing gives you muscles like a conservative woman's breast milk.
Oh, okay. That was really good. I like that.
Thanks.
That was awesome.
I don't know where I was going. I was kind of just drinking green tea and hoping it'd give me some energy, but yeah.
All right, I have to go break the fast for Ramadan today.
I never thought you'd say that on this podcast.
Neither did I.
Jesse won't say that was on the board.
It's very
I'm going
it's
to
very
break
sugary,
my fast
like,
for Ramadan.
I have to ask for a
Islam is sugary.
The fast that I'm being broken with. Like I just go to a cafe and it's not a cafe, it's a restaurant / cafe. It's a huge massive.
I thought you were describing a major world religion as a flavor then.
No, but like they just and everyone you have to break your fast with 3 dates and a glass of milk. That's just how it's done traditionally. And then
3 dates like, and a glass of milk.
Yep.
Let's go.
And then there's 3 different types of pancakes, and like one's a cornmeal bread, and one's a pancake, and one's more of a crepe, and you put like jam on it and honey on it, and you
maple syrup,
like these pastries. I wish, God, you know. And then there's these smoothies, an avocado smoothie and a fruit smoothie, and I'm like, it's so much sugar and bread, which turns into sugar. It's just you're, and then you finish it with coffee with sugar, and I'm like, my God, it's so. I need. Nutrients. I need something other than bread and honey every day.
I mean, you were just street drinking most of the time in Europe, and now you've switched to just high intensity midnight sugar consumption.
That's it. Like, you fast all day and all evening, and then you eat a pound of bread and sugar, and then you do it again the next day. I can't keep this up. I need to ask for a bowl of meat. And I think they, I know they've got them. They're called tagines. Just a bowl of meat, basically.
It sounds like it's lamb, isn't it? Lamb tagine.
You can get different types. You can get lamb and chicken and
I like lamb tagines.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. It's like, what is it next week? Are you going to next week? Jesse's going to try Buddhism next week. See how that goes.
I'm going to that surf community, and I'm just going to hang out by the beach and maybe do some yoga and maybe do some not surfing but bodyboarding.
You sound like an annoying rich kid on a gap year.
I know, right? I'm running out of money so quickly.
Going to the surf community on that beach in Morocco just to hang out, do some yoga.
I have like no money. And I have all the money. It's weird. Should I talk about that on the podcast? It's so strange.
Go on, if you've got time, because it's fascinating what's happened to
you. It's fucking fascinating. I am running out of cash very quickly, and my income has disappeared. Like, it's just from the work that I was doing. They just didn't need, I guess, me this season. So like, I didn't get work as a contract editor. That's just one of the risks you take, is sometimes they don't need you. Sometimes, you know,
they use AI. They've replaced you with AI.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't get any work this winter. So I'm like, fuck. So it's just all my savings are dwindling to nothing. Meanwhile, I look into my bank account, and suddenly there's, what was it? It was like, I think it was $57,000 was deposited into my account. I'm like, I didn't put that there. What the fuck? And I was like weirdly nervous, right? Because like, I say weirdly because it's money in my account suddenly, like a lot of money in my account. Like, but it was nervous because like, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's just like anything. You know what I mean? I don't know. It was hard to describe why I was nervous, but it's just like something was royal.
It could be a gangster or something. And like,
right. So I don't know. So I looked it up online, and everyone was like, don't fucking touch it. Whatever you do.
It does sound like the start of a Tarantino film.
Right. You'll get in trouble. There's like law behind this. Like, you can get fined. You can get blah, 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 blah. I'm like, fuck. Okay. So I call the bank after an hour on hold with the bank. They finally decide this is worthy of an investigation. I'm like, fucking hell. Thank you. And then like a week goes by, I don't hear a word from them. And then another $96,000 was deposited into my account on top of the original 57. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And I can't touch this shit. I'm going broke because I don't have an income, and I have $150,000+ just sitting in my account that I'm not allowed to touch. I can look at it, but I cannot touch it. So that's just the weirdness that's happening with me.
Have you seen the movie Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, of course.
They have the briefcase.
Dumb and Dumber.
They have the briefcase of money, and they spend it all. They just fill the briefcase with IOUs.
IOUs.
Just do that. It's fine.
Yeah, I think
this is better than money. They're IOUs. Cool. Well, I'll let you go and break your fast and have a great time in Morocco.
Thanks.
Cool. And then you can go to your Swift community.
Okay.
I hope it's got Wi-Fi. Can we do more episodes?
Yeah, that'd be important. probably does.
Oh, bye everyone. Go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com for live show tickets or Patreon, and we'll see you soon.
Oh yeah, our tickets are selling out. You should get a ticket now while you can.
Selling like hotcakes or room temperature cakes.
So what's the date again? May something?
May the something.
May the something. May the something that sometime PM in Halifax, 26th,
I think, Halifax, Nova Scotia this year. You'll have a great time. It'll be wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be fun. It'll be
Jesse fun. Has promised to shave his head and then draw hair on his head with a Sharpie.
And Reese has promised to shave his pubes and use those pubes to glue on a handlebar mustache on his face, which he will twirl during the show like an evil villain.
Gee, that's going to be a big mustache.
It's a veritable forest down there. Huh? Okay, bye everybody.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.